Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Overthrows podcast on Good Areas Live. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle_Vasude, the number one on Twitter. And as promised, we're back once again. And we were live like 2 days ago. This will keep happening more frequently because we'll be reacting to the cricket. And this particular live session is only going to be focused on Sri Lanka's women, their limited overs tour of Ireland. The two-match T20I series, Estelle, it ended in a 1-1 stalemate. But then Ireland won the three-match ODI series 2-1. And tell me, what does this mean for Sri Lanka's automatic qualification chances for the Women's ODI World Cup next year?
I mean, they're still in a pretty good position. They're in at number 4 at the moment, ahead of India. But of course, they're one of two teams that have completely finished their quota of 24 games in this cycle, right? So you have teams like New Zealand, West Indies, even Bangladesh, who still have the opportunity, theoretically or mathematically, to go through to the next round. It would have been, I mean, they could have confirmed their spots if things had gone according to what many people believed it would have. Like, a lot of people were expecting a 3-0 win for Sri Lanka, particularly given their form coming into the series and Ireland not having won any games in the Women's Championship so far. But Ireland was superb in their home turf, and they first time appearing in the cycle, they win the series. They win a series. It was just excellent going. But Sri Lanka, of course, still very much in the running to get in, but things could change with the coming series for West Indies and particularly New Zealand.
Well, I would actually back Sri Lanka versus both of those teams, given their recent success. But explain to me. And I wasn't like following this series super closely. I've looked at it here and there, but I haven't actually watched any of the action. So I'll just be picking your brain. Chamari was back for the ODI series. She played all three games. She was obviously, you know, not in form at the moment. And I mean, she's allowed to not be in form at some point as well, I suppose. But where exactly, according to you, did Sri Lanka go wrong in the ODI series in particular? Because it has slightly complicated things for them.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few issues. Obviously, many of them that have persisted over the last couple of years, but have kind of been papered over by the fact that one, Chamari has been in an extended purple patch. And the other is that a few other batters have also kind of got into good form and started converting their starts, right? But issues such as, you know, the middle order, which hasn't been firing right throughout, persisted. Then you had the lack of wicket-taking options for Sri Lanka, another issue. If I talk about the middle order, I think Neelakshi De Silva had been in form during that earlier part of the Women's Championship cycle, but hasn't really gotten too many opportunities with the bat off late, with the top four getting all the runs, right? So you've got Harshita, Chamari, Vishmi and Kavisha, who've been getting a lot of runs. So the likes of Neelakshi De Silva haven't gotten a lot of opportunities, and she doesn't seem to be in good form. Another player, Hasini Pereira, whose record is not great, to be honest, right? But Sri Lanka persisted with her, perhaps because she is that left-handed option in the middle order. Hasn't got a lot of runs, was involved in a really bad mix-up with Samara Vikrama in the second ODI, which Sri Lanka looked poised to chase down, right?
Tell me more. I want to know more about this mix-up. Was it a run-out mix-up? Yeah. Was it like a kerfuffle? Were they swearing at each other, Estelle?
I think a lot of people are swearing at their screens. I don't know if they were swearing at each other though, because it went all. I mean, Sri Lanka won 170 for two, chasing 240, and they ended up losing by, I think, 10 or 18 runs. I'm not sure the exact number, right? And it all started with that run out. Samara Vikrama gets to a ton. They'd been running well, but this, you know, miscommunication where they take. Samara Vikrama came down the track for the second run and Hasini Pereira just turned her down in the last moment. It was unfortunate. And, you know, Pereira didn't continue with the chase. Or she was dismissed pretty much immediately after as well. So it wasn't perfect for her. So she's another one who's had a lot of issues, right? And with Sri Lanka, the problem is you've got the 11 out there, and particularly the batters, there aren't that many backup players, right? In the squad. I think they have one backup batter in that squad. They've got Nutyangana, who is a wicketkeeper batter. So essentially, she's kind of a replacement for Anushka Sanjeevani. But other than that, they don't have spare batters in that squad. So that is an issue. And secondly, the bowling. Like, I don't think we've discussed it on Good Areas at all, but definitely in some of the other pods that I've been on, we've spoken about how they've left out Inoka Ranaveera and Oshadhi Ranasinghe. Ranaveera was in the ICC's T20 Team of the Year in 2023.
Wow, that's not too long ago.
And 2024, she finds herself not in the Sri Lankan setup. So they are struggling a bit with the wicket-taking options. And I think you have to give credit to Ireland as well, right? They batted really well. I mean, this is a team that has not qualified for the T20 World Cup this time, right? And the way they batted right throughout the tour, whether it was the T20s or the ODIs, was just brilliant to watch. And they had contributions from everyone in that lineup. It wasn't just one or two players.
Yeah, we'll come to Ireland later. I have some notes on them as well. And I really enjoyed watching them play when they toured Pakistan. I reckon it was last year or something. So they did well in Pakistan as well. I reckon they even might have won a series. And maybe it's a thing. They are, you know, Asian team slayers or something like that. Also, we've got Aniket Mohan and SAG in the comments. Go ahead and send your super chats as well, guys. Estelle and I can answer them for you, even if Jared isn't here. And SAG says that she loves Estelle and that she's a girl and this is not her being creepy. So thank you, SAG. I'm sure Estelle loves you back. All right. Before we get to Ireland, because there's a lot of fun stuff over there, I actually want to talk about three Sri Lankan performers in particular with you. And they did well on this tour, like all three of them. Let's start with Harshita Samarawickrama. 86 of 45 in the first T20I, 65 of 44 in the second. And then she also scored 105 in the second ODI. She's a woman in form, and she was very, very impressive and played quite a major role in Sri Lanka's triumphant and historic Asia Cup campaign. Talk to me more about her.
Yeah, Harshita is one player who, to me, genuinely, it's such a treat to watch because she's so good at identifying what her strengths are. She's not a big hitter of the ball, right? Like if you watch her, if you look at her, if you see a picture of her, she's not a big unit, right? She's tiny. And she doesn't really have the power to clear the boundary consistently, right? But the way she's worked on her game and developed it in a way that she has her areas where she can go over the top, and she has other areas where she can find the boundary. And that's, I think, one of the biggest pluses or biggest positives you can take out of a cricketer is that they've worked on things that they need to work on and develop those areas so that they are of a certain standard right now, right? Like, if you look at the Sri Lankan team right now, you could say she's Sri Lanka's number two batter. Yeah. She's had success in T20 cricket, which, I mean, if you watch her play, you wouldn't expect it to be her, you know, the more successful format for her. But she's found a way to work around her limitations. And that's been great to watch. I'm just looking at her numbers right now, right? In T20 cricket, she's been kind of the queen of the chase for Sri Lanka in a lot of ways. She's got an average of 50 and a strike rate of 109 in chases alone. That is, I mean, her career average is 31. Career strike rate is 99. So there is a big improvement from that to what she is as a chaser. I think particularly over the last 1.5 years, in many of the games, Sri Lanka has been a really good chasing side. And one of the key reasons is that she's been someone who has been able to stay right through the end and really manage those chases. So it's really good to see because, you know, 3 years ago, she was promising but wasn't really delivering on that promise.
Yeah.
But she's finally found that kind of the sweet spot with how she plays her game.
Yeah, I mean, she's 26 now. So she is coming of age. That is quite a mature age for female cricketers, you know. And this augurs extremely well for Sri Lanka because at least in the T20Is, she was the Chamari replacement. She was opening with Vishmi, right? And she scored runs. So I think that is fantastic news. Also, Aniket Mohan is asking in the comments whether I will be covering Pakistan versus Bangladesh. Dude, I am covering Pakistan versus Bangladesh. I was at the ground today, literally came back home, jumped on this podcast with Estelle. So you can follow, like, on Good Areas, we'll probably end up covering the entire series once it's done. But if you want to like have test by test coverage and see all of my other stuff, you can follow me on Twitter or go watch our content on Pro Sports. Anyway, coming back to Sri Lanka and Ireland. Performer number two, Vishmi Gunaratne. She became the first Sri Lankan ODI centurion who is not Chamari Attapattu in the first ODI. 101 of 98. And then, funnily enough, Harshita scored a 100 in the next one. But Vishmi, what I love about her, and I've actually been tracking her. She's the one I know most about, you know, out of all of these girls. She's still a teenager. Love that. About to turn 19. And her stock, Estelle, has been rising for a hot minute.
Yeah, absolutely. She's been fantastic. I think I told you guys a couple of months ago, maybe, about her adventures in the school's cricket arena.
Yeah.
At 16 years old, she hit 400 in a 30-over game and, you know, was fast-tracked into the Sri Lankan system. Made her debut, I think, in that same year.
Mm.
But now, you're beginning to see the consistency from her that you were looking for. She has been a slow starter for a long while. But I guess when you bat with Chamari Attapattu, sometimes you can afford to be a bit of a slow starter. I think with the Sri Lankans, in particularly these young players, a lot of it is mental, right? And once you start scoring runs, once you start getting those, you know, confidence-boosting quick runs, that belief that you can do it is just, it's planted and it keeps growing and growing. And that's what's happened. I mean, the three names that you gave me, right? It's all three of them. Talent was never a question, but it is, you know, using that talent to actually put performances out. It's brilliant to watch. I'll be honest, like maybe a year ago, if you had asked me about Vishmi Gunaratne, I would have told you I'm still on the fence because I felt like it was too early that they brought her into the side. But that persistence with her, the fact that they've kept persisting with her has eventually paid off, right? And with two World Cups coming, one this year and one next year, it's kind of the perfect time for her to get into form and get that consistency. I'll also add, by the way, I don't know how many people who are watching this know this, but she is the first centurion in limited overs cricket after Chamari. But there is a test centurion. I don't think a lot of people know about it. 1998, Sri Lanka versus Pakistan.
Okay.
The only test for both teams.
Is this the Kiran Baloch test?
I'm not too sure about it. But it was like one and done, right? Sri Lanka haven't played any more tests. I don't think Pakistan have either. Chamani Seniviratne scored 100 in that game. So, in limited overs cricket, yes, Vishmi and now Harshita.
So, they're the first Sri Lankan female cricketers to score hundreds for Sri Lanka in international cricket who are not named Chamari. Am I correct over here?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, that's quite a statistic, right? Personally, I mean, I feel Vishmi has the highest ceiling amongst all of these young players that Sri Lanka have got, you know, in their arsenal. But Kavisha Dilhari, batting all-rounder, is also a very, very valuable asset to have. And she's only 23, so there's time for her to grow even further. And she's had some really important performances for Sri Lanka off late in these recent successful times, right? Even in this tour, you look at, you know, her performances with the bat and she's got 50s in a T20I and ODI. And then she had figures of 4 for 54 and 2 for 35 in the first two ODIs. She bowls both off break and leg break, if I'm not wrong. So how important is she in terms of balance and middle order for Sri Lanka going forward?
You want to swing wildly at the internet like you've got the new pill in your hand, but you keep getting dead-butted. Find the movement you want with NordVPN. They are our protection against terrifying cyber threats and wide-batted geo-blocks. NordVPN will help you get through any rights restrictions so you can watch all the cricket you want. We aren't always happy with the wickets we're on. Sometimes we need a change. NordVPN can switch your virtual location so your IP address is ready to cash in. So if you need to get around the internet's rules, or I suppose in our case, laws, select NordVPN. They can help you watch a game on a cheaper stream in another country. Give NordVPN the ball and let them penetrate all your vast internet issues. Because if you need a VPN, go Nord. Use nordvpn.com/Kimber to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan, plus 4 additional months for free. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. You can also receive a 20 GB daily data voucher. The link is in the show notes. Protect your computer like a big hitter is coming for you at nordvpn.com/KIMBER right now.
Oh, she's massively important. I think one of the few players who can clear the boundary quite easily, that middle order, that's one big area that Sri Lanka have been lacking, right? Over the years, you've got Chamari who can hit massive sixers, but you don't have too many others. Kavisha, perhaps not as big a hitter as Athappatthu, but can also clear the boundary and score fast in the death overs, which is like, I mean, the way the women's game is going now, it's going to be really important, right? And of course, as a spin bowler, she's one of, I was talking about wicket-taking options. She's one of Sri Lanka's key wicket-taking options. Like, I mean, she's the one who Athappatthu turns to when she needs that wicket in the middle overs. And I mean, as you know, middle over wickets are critical, right? Particularly in the ODI game, right? So she's played that role really well for Sri Lanka. I think sometimes you don't see the value of her batting because she doesn't get as many runs as some of the top order batters do, but she's been excellent for Sri Lanka in the death. I think, you know, another one who's kind of been earmarked as one for the future. I think like the future is now, but I remember in 2022, Athappatthu was one who advocated strongly for her, saying that she should be in, you know, franchise cricket. She's someone who does have that potential as well. So it's good to see all three of them really coming of age at a time when Sri Lanka need them to, like I said, with the World Cups. But unfortunately, I mean, as a supporter of Sri Lanka, one thing that I feel a bit sad about is that we had the kind of latter part of Athappatthu's career, and you have these three coming up. If that kind of, if Athappatthu was a few years younger, Sri Lanka could have really, really built into something special.
Yeah, but the youngsters are coming to the fore now and they're kind of staking their claim. And even though Sri Lanka, you know, did not have a successful tour out of the five limited overs games, they only managed to win two. But, you know, we must not forget that they defeated England in England. And then they also defeated South Africa in South Africa, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
Who else did they defeat in this short little while? Of course, we know about the Asia Cup as well, India in the final, which was pretty much the most important moment in Sri Lankan women's cricket. But am I missing anyone in terms of series wins?
So they've beaten New Zealand. I think that was the series that kicked everything off, right, at home. Like you mentioned, England, South Africa and South Africa and West Indies at home as well. So had a few wins against opponents who they hadn't beaten in a long time. Some never, right? Like New Zealand, they'd never beaten in any format. So it's been kind of a crazy run.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I feel like they deserve lots of plaudits. And also, you know, sure, this might seem like a step backwards after all of that success. But like you said, you know, they can very easily automatically qualify for the ODI World Cup next year. And I feel like there are still some positive takeaways over here. Those three players are the most positive takeaways, right? Kavisha, Harshita and Vishmi. Because in a world after Chamari, you need these girls to kind of lead from the front and take on that ownership. Okay, we've talked a lot about Sri Lanka. Time to give some airtime to Ireland as well, because they've done massively well. You know, historic victory in the ODI series for them. They won it 2-1. And there were two Irish centurions that I want to talk about. Of course, Gabby Lewis scored a 75-ball 119 in the second T20I that Ireland managed to win. And then in the first ODI, Orla Prendergast, she first went unbeaten with the bat, 122 not out of 107 deliveries, and then also took 3-for-25 with the ball in what was a spectacular all-round performance. Which one would you rate higher, Gabby Lewis's ton or Orla's all-round, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, masterclass?
Yeah, I would say it's Orla because she did it in a chase as well, right?
True.
And that game kind of, I think Sri Lanka would have thought it's dead and buried with five to six overs to go. But she just kept finding the boundary and some really clean hitting. She's also someone who people have been talking about for a few years now, right?
She's done really well. I've seen her bat before and I like her.
Yeah, and even with the ball, that 3 for 25 included a wicket of Attapattu. I think it was a duck in that game. So massive wicket to start things off. She bowls. She's kind of nippy as well, right? And she's, what, 22 years old. So she's got a lot of years ahead of her. And it'll be really interesting to see where things go. Because, I mean, you don't get a lot of players like her, right?
Yeah.
And I'm surprised she hasn't been in contention for franchise deals. The only thing probably is that Ireland is a full member nation. So if they were an associate, maybe she would have got a gig at the WPL because she's that good. She's been impressing for a couple of years now.
WPL people, WBBL people, and the 100 women's people.
Yeah.
You guys should take a look into Orla Prendergast because I feel like she is definitely that quality of a player. She belongs to that tier of, you know, high quality batting all-rounders, right? Because she is primarily a batter. But what a performance. Probably the performance of the series, really. And it was better than Gabby's stun, which was also like phenomenal. 119 of 75. Yeah. But what's interesting over here is that Gabby did not feature in the ODI series, right? Chamari did feature for Sri Lanka in the ODI series. Laura Delaney was absent for Ireland as well. So Ireland were actually not as, like, they were not at full strength. Sri Lanka in the ODI series pretty much were. So, bearing in mind that there were these absentees, is this like something that Sri Lanka will rue? Is this a series that kind of got away?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they feel that way because they would have come into this tour expecting to win 5-0. Okay? If I'm being realistic, they would have been expecting to win 5-0, but they're going home with three losses, and most importantly, two ODI losses, which, like we discussed before, are going to affect or could potentially affect their automatic qualification to the World Cup, right? So they will, I think, be disappointed with the performances. But, I mean, you have to give credit to Ireland, right? They were fantastic. Like you said, they didn't have two key players in the ODI series, but they were fantastic right from the word go. Like I said, the batting was really good. They had contributions right throughout that batting order, lower down the order. You know, the bowling was good. The fielding, I thought, for the most part, was really good. So they were good all round. And I think that you get a lot of teams in the women's game that are reliant on one or two players, but they don't seem to be that team. They've got a lot of contributions from different players, and that's really good to see. Maybe one of their biggest achievements, because like I said, right, this is their first appearance in the Women's Championship, and they've won a series. And I think this also goes to show, like Sri Lanka, right? Sri Lanka have had 24 ODIs in the last 2 years. That is why they are improving. That is why you're seeing the results that you're seeing against the bigger teams that they haven't beaten before. So Ireland, similarly.
And Sri Lanka went 555 days, is it? Without playing cricket?
Close to 2 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so COVID, I mean, the turnaround has been so quick. And that the reason for that is the regular cricket, right? And Ireland are also showing that. Like, they've had a lot of, I mean, they haven't played as many games as Sri Lanka yet in this cycle, but they've had more cricket than they would against higher quality opposition. And that's bound to help them when they come up against teams like Sri Lanka, right? And it was really good to see, I think, one of their biggest achievements. Obviously, as someone who covers Sri Lanka cricket, it wasn't very pleasant to watch from that aspect. But I'm really glad that, you know, you have teams like Ireland coming up and being so competitive, right? It really makes you wonder why the World Cups aren't expanding. Yeah. I mean, this year's World Cup is going to feature only 10 teams and Ireland's not one of them, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't make it through the qualifiers. So I hope that they continue to be in the Women's Championship and that more teams are added on. So you will see them playing more. The more they play, they're going to get better, right?
Absolutely. I mean, exposure does wonders. We saw it with the Netherlands men's team, right? How good they got just by playing better teams. Same is the case over here with Ireland. It's an absolute shame that there are only 10 teams in the Women's T20 World Cup that's coming up in October. And I mean, if they expanded the Men's T20 World Cup, it only makes sense to expand the women's game as well, especially when it can get far more competitive, you know, in the women's circuit. But anyway, one thing that you mentioned and I want to kind of elaborate or expand on is that, you know, we obviously talked about both Centurions, Gabby Lewis and Orla. But it's not like they were the only performance. There were performances all around the park. If you look at the second ODI, which Ireland won and then sealed the series 2-0, took an unassailable lead. Keeper batter Amy Hunter scored 66. Leah Paul scored 81. Rebecca Stokel scored an unbeaten 53. So, walk me through this game. I obviously didn't watch it. What happened here, right? Because the usual suspects didn't perform. These guys did, or these girls did. And do you think 255 was too high a target for Sri Lanka to chase, or did they just mess up and it was chaseable?
Well, 255 is one of the higher chasers they would have had, right? Mm. I think they've chased a couple of totals above that.
Yeah.
They were very much in the chase, like I mentioned, right? Harshita Samarawickrama was batting really, really well. And then this massive collapse happened. So they were 2 for 172 when Harshita was dismissed. And then they folded for 240, right? I think if they had managed to stay in, they would have chased that.
Hmm.
But again, like, you have to give credit to Ireland, right? They were good in the field.
They're a really good fielding team, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Sri Lanka
they are.
Will have moments of brilliance and then will also be kind of scrappy other times, right? Have I read that correctly?
Hit Wicket is the cricket game backed by Harsha Bogle and me, so you know it's full of nerd energy. This strategic cricket game isn't just about frantic tapping. You make decisions based on how cricket actually works. You've got to set a batter up, right? And you can't hit a six from the first ball. Hit Wicket knows all that, and they made a game that makes it work with a few gaming twists in there as well. So play, build, and manage your team, because you are the batter, the bowler, the coach, the selector. I mean, you're basically everything in this game, right? And there's no ads on Hit Wicket. So download it for free for mobile and unleash your inner cricket legend.
No, you have. And I think Harshita Samarawickrama has unfortunately been one of the main culprits.
I mean, she overcame those demons in the final of the Asia Cup. Like, she came out a winner. Her mental strength, like, I salute.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm hearing that she has a tear in the webbing of one of her hands. And she also had a fracture in one of her fingers a couple of months ago.
Yikes.
So that is possibly playing on her mind. But she's been one of Sri Lanka's better fielders. So that's why it's disappointing to see a few chances going down off her. But I mean, you're right, like, very temperamental fielding unit. They were very, very good during the Asia Cup, barring those few dropped catches.
Yeah.
But they'll need to, you know, step that up, because you can't afford to. I mean, we saw in this tour, right? You can't afford to, even if it costs you 5-10 runs, it could end up being, you know, the winning margin. So they're going to have to step it up. I've said it before on this pod as well about the mental, like, side of things. It's a like, with these players, I can see it is a massive deal, like, you know, the shoulders dropping, things like that, when a few misfields go around,
the body language.
So they'll have body language. I mean, not a body language expert, but like, you can kind of tell that, you know, there is certainly a kind of that mental side of things, especially for a player like Harshita, right? Mm. I mean, she's all her life, she's been a good fielder. Suddenly she puts a couple of catches down and that turns into three catches and four catches and five catches and over a number of games. So it's definitely something they'll have to work on.
It's infectious, right? Like, we've seen it with other players as well. Also, Mookie in the comments is saying Sri Lankan women look too reliant on Chamari Attapattu. I disagree. If anything, recent times have proven to us that they're not overly reliant on her, and the change of guard is happening. And if you, even if you look at this series, right, Chamari didn't even perform. But other people did. And I don't think the reason Sri Lanka lost is because Chamari didn't perform. There were other reasons over here. And I mean, it is a massive coup for Ireland. An ODI series victory versus Sri Lanka at home. So just on a closing note for Ireland, describe the magnitude of this victory to me, and do you see them becoming like a top 10 team, let's say, in the next 5 years?
I think a lot will depend on the surfaces they play on.
Hmm.
I was really, really impressed with the pitches, right? I think someone had tweeted out about getting all this money and ending up with a pitch like the one we saw in New York at the Men's World Cup. And then you have like some amateur or some like you know, club cricketer plus a few amateurs preparing tracks where there's a lot of runs.
Hmm.
And it's good. It is good for the women's game, right? You want to see high scoring games. You don't want to really see too many of those 120 all out or, you know, teams struggling to get 200. So I think if conditions are like, conditions, obviously, they are preparing there are good and they get to play a lot more international cricket against higher ranked teams. There's no reason why they shouldn't become a top team, top 10 team, because they've kind of got the talent, right?
Yeah.
If you look at that lineup, like you said, there are a lot of, I mean, and there are a lot of youngsters coming through as well, right?
And I think the Ireland women's team precedes the men's team. I might be wrong over there, but that's my memory of it.
I think so as well,
yeah,
right?
I think
I'm not
so.
Sure.
Someone
I'm not sure.
in the comments can maybe correct us. And if you haven't caught the live session, you can let us know in the YouTube comments or something. But yeah, I mean, I only wish the best for Ireland's men's and women's teams. I've visited the country twice. I absolutely love the people. And I also am a big fan of their cricket, like generally as well. It's a team you always kind of want to root for. And whenever they do well, you're happy for them. I'm sure like even though Sri Lanka has lost, there is a part of you deep down inside where you're like, okay, well, good for Ireland.
Yeah, I think it's a funny one because you always want the underdog to do well. But do you want the underdog to do well against your team is a question.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's great for women's cricket as well to have a strong Ireland.
Absolutely.
Because you want more teams competing hard and you don't want that kind of top three being a separate, you know, at a separate level. You want everyone to be competing. So, I mean, while I am disappointed that Sri Lanka lost and couldn't kind of seal their position in the World Cup next year, I'm happy that, you know, you saw something that's encouraging about a team like Ireland.
Absolutely. And just before we end this podcast, you mentioned that Sri Lanka have the West Indies and New Zealand coming up. ODI series, and that will kind of give them an opportunity to seal their automatic qualification for the ODI World Cup next year. How many games per team and how many do they need to win out of those games?
No? So they're done. They're done. But West Indies, they're done. They have played their 24 games.
Oh, so they're relying on other teams and their results. Yeah. That's not a great position to be in, Esther.
Yeah. So at the moment, they are in fourth position. And India is fifth. India is through, obviously, as an automatic qualifier with as host. And then at number six, you have New Zealand, who have six games remaining against Australia and India. So
okay.
That's the tricky part.
I don't think they can win many out of those because New Zealand's trajectory gone down.
Yeah, they need, I believe, two wins to stay in. So they're still within the qualifications, right? They're at number six. And then you have West Indies, who need four wins out of six games. They've got three games against Bangladesh and three against India again.
Ooh.
And Bangladesh, who've got West Indies and India. So it's not going to be easy. But like I said, mathematically, it's still possible that Sri Lanka get bumped out of the top six, right? So, I mean, you never know the way results have gone. Like, no one was expecting this series result. But, I mean, in the end, it was 2-1 to Ireland. So anything can happen. At the moment, they look kind of likely to go through, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, thanks for spelling that out for both me and all of our viewers and listeners. So now we know exactly what Sri Lanka require to automatically qualify for the ODI World Cup next year. And based on these things that you've just told me, I would put my money on Sri Lanka going ahead because the other results seem a bit unlikely. But anyway, that wraps up this episode of Overthrows or Good Areas Live. You guys can call it what you want because it's going to be really random here on. And just a quick reminder for everybody, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the work that we do as part of our team, whether it be written content, podcasts, or videos. We'll see you guys soon enough whenever there's something to talk about. Some people from our team will jump on a live video and we'll record for you and you will be alerted a little prior. So I'll promise you that, okay? Well, anyway, thanks to everyone in the comments section and thank you to you, Estelle, for taking out the time. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, So support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bahram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku, as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.